Bless his holy name. What an awesome God we serve.
Hallelujah.
Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him.
Thank you, Jesus.
What an awesome God we serve. Every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, we thank you for today. Time of reflection on the struggles and the triumphs you have given us as your people. You have brought us from a mighty long way. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day's worship. It's all about your Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in Christ we live, move, and have our being. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your authority and power you give unto us. Lord, that we can be a force in the world, on earth, to extend, exalt, and illustrate your kingdom. Father, now is preaching time. I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. And I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. We ask that you counsel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forth. Send it as you send rain and snow from heaven to water the earth, to give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Accomplish your will through your preached word. I thank you for what has already transpired, that has led up to this preaching moment. Now, focus. I pray that our focus be on thee. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our iniquities, that we will be fit vessels to be used by you. And when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all the honor and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord your best praise. Certainly it's good to be alive, alert, and active. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3. What a glorious and grand day this is, to be in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to serve the Lord. He could have excluded us, but instead he included. Paul Martin a few years ago said, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. How many feel like that today? Amen. Whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. Church operating under the power and authority of God. And you can personalize it that you too operate under the authority and power of God, which means you have both permission and power to operate on heaven's behalf. That people ought to see God's power, God's presence, active in your life. Not only while you are sitting on the padded pews, but as you go hither and thither, as you go here and there, they ought to see that God is active in your life, operating under the authority and power of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 is Paul's praise in conclusion of his second prayer for the believers at Ephesus. Paul prayed that the believers would be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, he prayed that they would come to total spiritual perfection in Christ Jesus. Spiritual perfection is spiritual maturity. That maturing in the love of God, maturing in response to God, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. One thing I discovered, that God can't do much with immature believers. Therefore, he calls for us to mature. He enrolls us in life classes of hardness and hardships to mature us. If you're going to be used of God, you can't be a crybaby. You're going to have to take some stuff. You're going to have to deal with some hard situations, some hard people, some difficult people. You're going to have to mature as a child of God if God is going to use you to do major ministry. It was Paul's prayer that the believers of Ephesus would be strengthened within by the Holy Spirit, and that Christ would dwell in them by faith, and that they would be rooted and grounded in the love of God, and God would lead the way for them to be spiritually perfected. Paul prayed because he knew if they would be perfected spiritually, that it was necessary for them to receive from God God's power. Brothers and sisters, none of us can become who we should be, who we ought be, on our own. It is not through our own disciplines, our own determination, our own duty that we become who we are. It is only by the power of God that God, he perfects us. He spiritually matures us so that we will be what we should be. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl can perfect themselves. We try. You know, there are things we try to cut out. There are things we try to stop doing on our own. And we find ourselves doing them again. You know, we commit to certain diets. And we last for a little while. But after a little while, we right back to where we were. We commit to certain behaviors, but the behaviors that we commit to only last for a little while. But when God gives us the power when God is working in us within, when God infuses his strength on the inside of us, he delivers us from what we don't need and what we don't need to be doing. Therefore, the glory goes to God and not us. See, some of you can't witness this morning because you think you are doing what you're doing on your own. You think you brought yourself to where you are on your own. You think you stopped doing those bad things on your own. You think you delivered yourself. But I'm here to tell you, baby, that you didn't stop it. It was God by his power that brought you out of it and gave you the strength to deal with it. That no man, no boy, no girl can perfect themselves. That God's power can do with us what we can't do for ourselves. It is God by his power who perfects all Christian believers. Paul prayed for the Christian believers at Ephesus to be spiritually perfected. He sets forth the idea of the absolute infinity of God's gracious power. In other words, he somewhat reveals the timelessness of God's power. God's power is complete. It is whole. It is absolute. Let me say that again. God's power is complete. It is whole. It is absolute. God's power is limitless. It is inexhaustible. And it is boundless. There is nothing too hard for God. Ought to have a witness in the house. Let me say that again. There is nothing too hard for God. You Bible readers, remember in Numbers chapter 11, verses 21 through 23, Moses questioned God concerning a promise God made to provide meat for the children of Israel to eat for a month. There were 600,000 on foot, and Moses asked God, if the flocks and the herds be slaughtered for them to be sufficient for them, or should all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to be sufficient for them? For the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come to pass or not. He says, is the Lord's power limited? And some of us, or all of us in here, can respond to the question of the Lord by saying, God's power is limitless. It's limitless. It is without end. It is without limits. Not only does he deal with the totality of God's power revealed, but the timelessness of God's power is revealed. That God's power is not restricted or restrained to a certain period of time. That God's power is eternal. The power you read about in the Word of God is the power that God has now. And it's the power that God gives unto us now. That he is not restricted to a certain period of time. I thank God for that. That he's not prejudiced to periods. But even as dark as the world is now, God, he gives his power to his believers. As messed up as things are now, he still gives power to his believers. As low as we may be now, he still gives us power. As much as we are going through now, he gives us power. That God is not restricted to a certain period of time. He's still God. He's still God. Paul is praising God.
Yes, sir.
For the believers of Ephesus,
yes,
that they experience the power of God to spiritually mature,
yes,
to be more like Christ, less like themselves. Here it is. He closes his prayer with praise or a doxology. Several things Paul praised God for. Notice, first of all, in verse 20, he praises God for the ability of God. He praises God for the ability of God. God is not weak and powerless like men and idol gods. Psalms 115 verses 4 through 7, their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hand. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak their through their throats. He says that idols have no power and men are weak. But in verse 20, he says, now unto him who's able to do. Idols can't do, weak men can't do, but God is able to do. Now a shout goes right there. Now somebody here, if you can't shout over anything else, you ought to shout over the ability of God. You ought to be a personal witness to the ability of God, because God is able to do. Matter of fact, as you look down the row and you look at somebody else, what you are seeing is the ability of God, because we didn't make it into the sanctuary on our own. We only made it because of the ability of God. He's able to do. All too often we look at circumstances and problems in light of our abilities to handle them. But Paul is not dealing with the limitations of man's power. He's dealing with the unlimited ability of God. See, we limit God. We surmate God to that of a man or woman. His ability to that of a man or a woman. We limit God. But God is not limited by our circumstances or situations, because God is able to do all the time. That he's never restricted, because no one is equal his power. Jesus said that there are some things that are impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Notice the word exceeding abundantly, super abundance in quantity and quality. In other words, God does what he does in a way beyond what is usual. You can't make God usual. You can't make God common. You can't make God ordinary. God is extraordinary. God is super in his being. God is beyond man, and his ability goes beyond our ability. He says it's exceeding abundantly above all we could ask. Now here the praise goes to God, because you can't ask on a level of God's power. See, we asking down here and God way up here. I know you think you're doing something about how you sound and how you look, but you still asking down here. But God is up here. And listen, Jesus has to catch your prayers down here to bring your prayers up here so God can do the supernatural in your life. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what you pray. In other words, God doesn't just give you what you ask for. When God responds to your prayers, He always gives you more than what you ask. Now, let me prove my posture. You know, in Malachi, He says, "You bring a dime, and God will open the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive." What God will do is bless your life so much, He will make you share the blessing. Because you can't handle it all. Look at somebody, if you will, and tell them God blesses you more than what you can ask Him for. They brought two fish to Him, five crackers, crowd massive, and Jesus took the two fish. Baptist preachers said they were two sardines and five crackers, just a little lad's lunch, and He prayed unto the Father. And He began to break the fish and loaves and told the disciples to hand it out to the people. And they handed out the substance to the people. And when they finished, they had 12 baskets of leftover fragments. Listen, when you decide to fall on your knees and pray, what God will do is attach to your life power that goes beyond what you can petition Him for. Is beyond your prayers. Is beyond your perception of God. How you perceive God. Beyond your thinking. You know, when you really consider this, you have nothing to worry about. That's why worry is a sin. Because when you really start contemplating the power of God that He has activated in your life, you have no reason to worry nor complain. It's beyond our thinking. Whatever our faults are, God's power moves beyond the boundaries of our thoughts, of our thinking. He says, exceeding abundantly above our thoughts. Oh, how we wish we could think that high. It's beyond our thoughts. But you know, it really deals with the position of God versus our position. That in Isaiah 57 verse 15, "For thus said the Lord, the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." He says in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are his ways our ways. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So he praises God for the exceeding abundant power of God. But then he praises God for the actual power of God working in us. He now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Last week we were in Ephesians chapter 1, and we saw that the exceeding greatness of his power was toward us. That we praise God that his power is not against us, but it is toward us. It is for us. But here, Paul, he praises God for the power of God working in us. In us. It's working in us. We ought to be thankful that the power of God is working in us, because we would really be messed up people if the power of God wasn't working in us. The power of God is working in us to control us. Oh, if I didn't have the power of God working in me, I would be something to reckon with. I see the smiles on your face when I said I, but I'm looking at some of you. Oh, if the power of God wasn't working on the inside of you, you would have gave people a piece of your mind. Come on, if the power of God wasn't working on the inside of you when people got to working on your last black nerve, you would have cussed some folks out. If the power of God wasn't working on the inside of you, you hadn't forgot how to box. But thanks be to God that the power of God is working on the inside of us, keeping us in line with God, with the things that pleases God, doing the things that brings pleasure to the heart of God. He talks about this power working for us on the inside of us, that this supreme deposit of his power that works on the inside of us, that causes all things to work together for the good of us who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. He has his power on the inside of us, working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, that perfects that which concerns us, keeping us from falling away. Yes, sir. So that we may be presented blameless before the presence of his glory by the power of God being at work in us. God is accomplishing his purpose. Let me pause to help us, because we think God gives us power to do whatever we want to do, to work our own purposes. No, that's not why he give you power. That's not why he give you power, you know. That's not why he give you power. He's not giving you power to do your own thing. No, to go your own way. No, to not he's not giving you power to accomplish your own will, you know. He's giving you power to accomplish his purposes. His purposes. He gives you power to conform you to the image of his son. Every day you ought to get closer in resemblance, that you ought to look more like Christ and less like yourself. That he's conforming you, molding you, and shaping you through the knowledge of his son, through the knowledge of truth, so that he can accomplish his purpose. It's about his purpose. He gives you power to advance his kingdom through you and your living. Oh. Paul, praise God for power, the ability of God, the active power of God working on the inside of us. And he closes his praise by ascribing praise unto God. That he says, now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundant above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory. In the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. In other words, he says, when he looked at God, saw the power of God active in the believers at Ephesus, he got happy. He began to rejoice and elevated the name of God. He praised God for power. But not only personal power, but power that was active in the believers at Ephesus. You know, when you think about the power of God, you ought to get happy and give God some praise. When you think about the power of God, you ought to get happy and lift up his name. You ought to be able to say, unto him be glory. In other words, I'm going to give God the credit, because where I am, he brought me. What I have, he taught me. What I have, he gave it to me. You ought to give God the credit. You ought to look at somebody this morning and tell them, God is the reason for my being. I made it through the storms and the rain. I made it through heartaches and pain because of the power of God. I want to thank God for salvation of my soul, because I was on my way to a devil's hell, but he picked me up, turned me around, and placed my feet on solid ground. Is there anybody in the room? Thank God for salvation. He saved your soul from a burning hell. That's the power of God. God is God, and he's God all by himself. And God alone deserves the praise and the glory. I want to thank God for saving my soul, that he sent his son down through 42 generations. He landed in a lowly place called Bethlehem, and he walked the dusty streets of Palestine for 33 and a half years, and he died on Calvary. But he didn't stay dead. Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. The power that he raised Jesus up with is the power that he has put on the inside of us, that we will survive, we will make it, we will thrive, because we have the power of God on the inside. You're going to make it. You're not going to lose. You're not going to come up short. You're not going to be defeated, because of the power of God on the inside, that we are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. Before it is eternally too late, yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not promised. You only have now. Secondly, if you're here, need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart as a church family, a faith family, come. Receive us as your family, and we will receive you. Thirdly, if you're here, need a restoration, for you're backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open. And the Lord, he will restore. He will revive, rebuild, redirect, refocus. Come today to doors, the Lord's house stands ajar. You can come by letter, Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Everyone to your feet if you will. Pray for the person beside you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, that they will receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, so that they could receive the power of God on the inside that's toward us and for us. Come today. If you're not saved, come today. Need of a church home, come today. If you're backslidden, come. Come on, the doors. Don't you let this day pass you by. The Spirit is speaking to you, saying, come. Come, come, come. Get your business fixed with the Lord. No man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall appear. Jesus says, be ready. Come on, come on. Yeah. 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 Come on, the doors. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for today. You brought us to this place safe and sound. And Father, we know that if we're going to make it back to our places of residence, places of rest, it is only by you. Father, we pray that your grace, mercy, Holy Spirit, commune with us now and forever. That you will lead us from this place, but never from your divine presence. That you will hold us in the hollow of your hands and keep us as the world around us is warring against us. Thank you, Father. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Every heart say amen.